Good evening. Welcome to Foundational Teachings class. We'll start with a couple of announcements from Satsu. Can you take the mic to Yusatsu? Okay, starting this Saturday and continuing for about every other Saturdays through the rest of the year, there's a course called Taking Your Seat. It's for members. Registration is required, and registration is still available on the website. And that is for people who are in their first 2 years of practice. So that would be a great follow-on or to this class. And Suho is teaching that class. And then our next big overnight sesshin is Rohatsu starting December 7th. And it's a rather long retreat for us, but you could, if you wanted to experience it, you could, for example, sign up for 1 day, one overnight, and then the next day. So signups are variable as to how much time you commit. Thank you, Yusatsu. Can I see a show of hands of who was here last week? About is it? I was gonna say 50%, but okay. Well, we had a prompt last week, so I'm gonna see if anybody would like to share from the prompt last week. And if you weren't here last week, don't worry about it. But the prompt was you've had you last week we talked about the six realms. So you've had some time to consider and reflect on one realm in particular, which we did last week in class. And you gained a little access to the other six when we made our mandala of the six. So, considering the whole image and your places in it, where are habitual places for you to hang out? And where do you often land or get stuck? Where would you like to spend more time? And why would you like to spend more time there? Does anybody have something you'd like to share about that? Go, Yukio.
I think I'll just share that. The Hungry Ghost Realm was one that didn't necessarily make sense to me at first. Tsukiji and the ceremony was really impactful the first time I experienced it, but I didn't really get the like, didn't really get it. It's meant kind of more to me each year as like kind of comes up. I think especially this year, I was like, oh, and so I guess that's just a little reflection on it not being obvious to me how to connect with that, but then actually finding it really resonant after kind of revisiting it and then being like, oh, that's how it aligns with how it shows up in my life. And that's one for me.
Thank you for sharing. Anybody else?
I'm Erin. I noticed one of the things that really stuck out to me last week was the way that the human realm was described as being the most desirable of the realms. That felt fresh to me, because I often spend a lot of time thinking about how terrible it feels. And that was really lovely to like kind of carry with me throughout the week and having these moments of like, oh yes, this is desirable. I want to be here. Was really cool.
Nice. Nice insight. Anybody else?
I thought I saw one more back there. Is it true? No.
How would you respond to this prompt, Reju?
Me?
Yes, you.
You want
Oh, yes, of course. I can share. I sure around. Well, keep wanting the mic. Well, one of the ones that was sort of resonant for me and sort of similar to what Yukio was saying about like knowing it was there and sort of getting it, but it not really landing was last year I really had an experience of Beast Realm in a way that I hadn't been able to like land before. And that like all I wanted to do was just be so cozy and turn everything off. And I did that for a couple months. And in the end, it didn't feel good. But yeah, like really being able to be like, oh, I'm in Beast Realm and I don't want to go anywhere. which I think happens in many of the realms. But in it was interesting to just be there and notice that it was happening and be like, this is just what I'm doing right now. And knowing that it wasn't, like, I don't know, super nourishing for me or something, but just seeing that that's where I was. All right. So tonight's topic is the Heart of Perfect Wisdom Sutra. And so I'm going to start out, we're going to start out nice and light. I'm going to talk about emptiness. seriously, I'm going to talk about emptiness. Probably not so light. The concept of emptiness is really central to Mahayana Buddhism, so central that there have been many sutras composed about it. But what is emptiness? What we're to understand is that all things, sensations, etc., are empty of any separate, independent self nature. And that's really the core of it right there. So consider this table. It hasn't always been a table. It had some other forms before it the pieces came together to be a table. But we don't look at this and say, oh, it's got its own self nature. It's its own thing. Like it's useful as a table when I'm using it as a table, and the rest of the time it's just a thing. It doesn't have any meaning. We kind of conceptualize it as a table. The table exists, we can see it, we can interact with it, but we don't project an inherent independent self nature onto it. And when it isn't a table anymore, like if it burns up in a fire or, you know, gets left out in the rain and gets moldy and falls apart, we don't say, oh, the table died. We just, you know, we recognize that that thing doesn't exist anymore. So from that, sort of that idea, we are asked to make the leap to ourselves as being empty of independent self-nature. We understand that we're made up of many component parts. We have a body, a mind, senses, thoughts, consciousness, etc. There's a point where this package of human being comes together and a point when it falls apart. But the way we conceive of existence and non-existence makes sense only when we believe that there's an abiding inherent self-nature. It's kind of, you know, it's a construct that we do as human beings. The absence of inherent self-nature doesn't mean what we think it does, though. We're so attached to the idea of our inherent self-nature and to the inherent self-nature of all beings and things that we deeply care about that emptiness can sound threatening and nihilistic when we talk about it. However, emptiness is a quality, it is a quality of existent things. No, nothing, no existent thing, no emptiness. Which is why the Heart Sutra says that form, sensations, perceptions, mental formations, and consciousness, all these aspects of a human being, do not differ from emptiness. Existent things are the manifestation of emptiness, and that realization can be so liberating. So there was your 3-minute emptiness lecture. Just a little bit more. When we chant about no form, the sutra is pointing us to our body being a creation of our mind. Body is a concept that we project onto this physical phenomenon. If you look carefully enough, you realize that your discernment of my body versus not my body is pretty arbitrary, and it's fluid and also pretty self-centered. So that's the core teaching of these wisdom sutras. I'm going to talk a little bit about the wisdom sutras now. So beginning in roughly in the common era, so somewhere between 100 years BCE and 100 years CE. Buddhist thought was kind of evolving and encouraging everyone to aspire to the path of a bodhisattva. And this was the beginning of Mahayana Buddhist thought. We've talked about that a little bit previously. Among the writings of this time were these Perfection of Wisdom or Prajnaparamita Sutras. One that is thought to be one of the first ones, historians are pretty uncertain, you know, which of them came first. But there is one that is called the Perfection of Wisdom in 8,000 lines. And the 8,000 lines part refers to the slokas. It's a chunk of text. It's kind of like poetry. It's a chunk of text in Indian writing. They weren't written in Sanskrit. They were, the first one that we found was written in a different language, but from India. So 8,000 lines. So that's a lot of lines about emptiness. And then others were written as well, and they got longer and longer. So there was an 18,000 line version and a 25,000 line version, all the way up to a 100,000 line version. And then they started getting shorter because there was some, like, wow, that's a lot. they got shorter and shorter. One that's quite well known is the Diamond Sutra, which is 300 lines, and then the Heart of Great Perfect Wisdom Sutra, which we're going to chant several times tonight, is about 25-ish lines. And it actually can go all the way down to one syllable. The syllable "ah" is also the Heart of Perfect Wisdom. And again, what all of these sutras are teaching about is emptiness. So here we are. I think we're ready for chanting. Okay. Yes. Okay, so we're going to do some exploration of emptiness by chanting and reciting different versions of the Heart Sutra. Quick side note that is it a tapestry scroll? The scroll that's hanging between the sun, zen room, and the bell is the Heart Sutra. So you can also look at it if you want. You can look at it in lots of ways. But we're going to chant and recite five different versions of the Heart Sutra. So the first one we'll do is the one that we chant here at this temple many days a week, not every single day, but many days a week. Then we're going to recite together three different translations, which you have on your handout. And then we're going to chant the Makahanya Haramita, which is the Heart Sutra and Sino-Japanese. So have fun. After we do that, we have some journaling prompts. You can write about anything you want, but we have some prompts that you can consider. And you'll just sort of write in whatever way you want, which can include drawing or whatever, about your experience. So, Kyle, we're up. Yeah, let's move this stuff over.
Our great perfect wisdom sutra.
Now we're going to move into our journaling. So the very beautiful story, here are the prompts for journal writing. What was your experience of chanting? How did you experience emptiness while chanting? You can write your own, also write your own version of the Heart Sutra. Sorry. emptiness while chanting and write your own version of the Heart Sutra. And there's lots more paper and pencils if you are just a little work for it to do. And if you need something to write on, have a bench nearby, sometimes a bench works that we will write in paper.
Have your insight from that experience? Somebody willing to share just a bit? We have just a really like 2-3 minutes for this, so don't be shy. Thank you, Yukio.
This is Yukio. I'll just read what I wrote. As we linked our voices in a common resonance in the hall, I closed my eyes and felt the heartbeat of the syllables sung together in harmony. And out of harmony, which is its own harmony. And at the edge of my awareness, I hear the bells of the Tsujiki Toro fire. Faint, but there just briefly. But that synchronous footfall linking arms and sound around the flames of transformation. Sunlight and water became a tree, became a trunk, became lumber, became firewood, became ash, smoke, light, and warmth, became flames looking at the little scraps of paper upon which our sincere hearts drew a symbol of something that needed to be released, a recognition of its basic inherent capacity for freedom, dispersal, impermanence, and emptiness, recognizing its weight and ethereal light. Brass bells feel a delicate percussion. Sparks fly. Rains fall. We sing. Thank you. That was lovely. Anybody else? Yes, please. Yes, please. Just a second.
I chanted so many times, of course.
Use the mic.
I chanted these so many times that the Sino-Japanese is really interesting for me to think about, because, of course, aside from a couple of syllables in there, I can't assign meaning to it directly. So it just becomes kind of the sound.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's no form, right? For me, at least, there's no form because I can't understand the words.
Yeah.
And I find that pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's cool. One more share.
I'm Benny. For me, I noticing the syllables and sort of like different usage of words throughout the translations, that really kind of changed how I experienced the Heart Sutra. Like, I think I'm familiar with the chant books version, so it's like a real fluidity and familiarity. But once I got into the other translation, it kind of caught me a little bit, and sort of noticing those gaps when I was tripped up of a word that was not so familiar. And that's actually, I didn't know that that was the Japanese version. I'm pretty sure I've chanted it before. So that was the first time I knew it. And just like, and I'd seen that wall scroll and I could read some Chinese. So I knew that was like the heart scripture in Chinese and I can kind of like parse it sometimes. So to chant it in Japanese, I started to like, oh, I noticed like the moo, moo, moo. That's like nothing, empty. That's no eye, no ears. Like, oh, that's where that part of it is. And so it's kind of, that was a nice insight.
Good experience. Thank you. Thanks for so much for sharing. Okay, we're wrapping up for tonight. And we'll turn this border once again in a second. So Reggie's gonna come help. So we have a prompt for you to consider, but we didn't get it onto the pieces of paper. So you have a chance to write the prompt down yourself. So the prompt for you to consider, the Heart Sutra is about emptiness. Most relationships are about particulars, you and me. How are their relationships in the context of emptiness? So you might want to take a minute and jot that down and take it with you so you can contemplate that go on for next week.
Finish for the and that